everybody. Welcome to another episode of Classes of Mail. I am back. I am back from Peru. I am back from vacation. It was wonderful to take 3 weeks off, get out of the country, go somewhere incredible, and not think about all the crap going on back at my branch, back at my station, all that stuff. Didn't sweat any of it. And oh my God, it was glorious. In fact, so much so that Michael and I had recorded a couple of episodes of Classes of Mail that I could release while I was down in Peru. And I forgot they even existed. So they were just sitting on the server waiting to get published. And they didn't get published till I got back home. But it's okay. The show goes on. And I'm back. It's time to start recording again and get you guys up to date and continue with the education. So let me tell you guys some of what I've been up to. I have been following my passions. So that means hiking. Of course, that's what I spent that couple weeks doing down in Peru. I hiked the Inca Trail to Machu Picchu. It was harder than I was expecting, but I was able to do it. I wanted my fitness to be at a point where it would be difficult, but I wouldn't suffer. And that's essentially exactly where I was. There was no way I was going to get my fitness to the level that like the porters and the guides who work that trail all the time have. But it was enough that I was able to get through it and stay in the top half of the group pretty much the whole time. And it was very satisfying. It was wonderful down there. And maybe at some point in the future, I will have an episode about the hike. You know, I'll do like a travelogue. I know I had talked about that. But I also have my other podcast, the Scafacciverse podcast, where my buddy Anthony and I talk about that whole trip. And if you want to find it, you can find it there. But be forewarned, it's a bit on the irreverent side. Anyway, the other thing that I've been doing is, you know, with following my passion, obviously I have a passion for educating carriers and for furthering my own education. And I have been searching. I spent like a week off and on looking for an answer for the folks on the Branch 458 podcast. They had a question. And they called me out specifically. And it's a question that I've had for a long time too. And now I'm going to call on all of you, dear listeners. When you're casing your mail, there are these plastic L-shaped blockers, they're called cell blockers, that are different colors. And you can use them to indicate that somebody in that cell has a vacation hold, or that a house is vacant, or that they have a P.O. box, or anything like that. And where I deliver the mail, the yellow one indicates that it's a vacation hold. The blue one indicates that the unit is vacant. And then the other colors we don't really have firm definitions for. And I could have sworn at one point while I was teaching the academy, somebody showed me a chart that actually broke down what the colors meant. Like, it was the same chart that showed the color coding for delaying the mail. That if we delay the mail on Tuesday, it's light blue. And if we delay the mail on Thursday, it's orange or whatever. And that lets us know at a glance when that mail has to be delivered. And I could have sworn that same chart had a chart on it that showed like yellow is vacation hold and blue is vacant for the cell blockers. And I know the cell blockers are uniform because you can order them through the, like your supervisor can order them from the suppliers and they show up in the slides at the Carrier Academy. You can see them in the cases on the slides. But what do they mean? As near as I can tell, and I've looked at a bunch of different resources, I've searched everywhere I can think of to search for it. As near as I can tell, there is no key for these things. It's really just whatever you feel like using them for. So if you guys know any different, let me know. classesofmail@gmail.com. Reach out to me. You can also find me on whatever social media under Alan Gegax, A-L-A-N-G-E-G-A-X. All that stuff is totally public, so you can find me there. And guys, like I said, I spent days looking at it, you know, off and on, like not nonstop, obviously, but off and on looking at this, sending emails to people who are in education, trying to find this answer. Because if a carrier wants to know something about their job, I want them to know it. And I'm good at looking this stuff up. I'm good at finding it, and I'm good at teaching it. And I'm sure you can tell after 150 or however many episodes we've done now, I'm passionate about it. It's what I'm into. I want to learn this stuff. I want to teach this stuff. I want other people to know this stuff. It's just, it's who I am, and it's why this podcast exists. You know, when Classes of Mail was being created, it was to fill this need that too many carriers don't know the rules of their job, and too many carriers don't know what's in the JCAM, the Joint Contract Administration Manual that governs like the way our contract is interpreted. They don't know what's in the M41, which is the handbook that guides the way we do our job. And as long as there are carriers out there who want that kind of education, I'm going to stay busy because I want that for you. I want that for me. And I think it benefits all of us when we have an educated workforce. And that's what I'm into. And so speaking of the M41, I want to tell you guys about a conflict that I've had since I've been back at work. So there was a conflict at my station between a friend of mine and the MCSO, the manager of customer service operations, which is between my station manager and the local postmaster, which is like for the whole installation. So anyway, this MCSO is like an upper level manager that's above my station manager. And the MCSO is walking around and said to my buddy, "Hey, how you doing?" Or something, you know, some pleasantry like that. And my buddy reacted negatively. He's like, "Oh, what difference does it make?" You know, or something like that. Like, I didn't hear this part of the conversation. But the MCSO did not like being responded to that way and gave guff back. Like, "Hey, you don't have to talk to me like that." And then it escalated. Like, "Well, what do you care the way I talk to you?" And again, I wasn't there for this part of this conversation. But when the MCSO and the carrier suddenly appear at my case, they both start telling me this story about what happened because it started to come to conflict and the carrier's like, "Well, I want a union steward." And so they come to my case. Now, mind you, I'm not a union steward right now. I've been blackballed by my branch president, but they come to me anyway. So I talked to them about it a little bit and the MCSO starts citing the M41. And saying, "Well, you know, he's required to be prompt and courteous. It's in the M41, and that's your rule book." And what he's referring to is M41, section 112.25, where it says that you are to be, quote, "prompt, courteous, and obliging in the performance of duties," end quote. And the boss didn't think that my buddy was being courteous, which, you know, reasonably wasn't being courteous, but this did not occur in a vacuum. And we'll talk about that in just a second. And then he asked my buddy, "Well, how long have you worked here?" And my buddy, "So I've been here ever since COVID. You know, I've been here however many years that is, 6 years or whatever it's been." And the MCSO says, "Well, have you read the M41? Or no, the supervisor, the boss says, "Well, you should know what's in the M41. And so I jump in and I ask the carrier, "Have you been given time to read the M41? Because I know the answer. The answer is no. Of course, we're never given that time. That's why Classes of Mail has to exist, because you don't get the time to read the manuals and to know all this stuff about how you're supposed to do your job. And for the MCSO to act like he does, that's nonsense. So anyway, the carrier knows where I'm going with this. He's like, "No, of course I've never had time to sit down and read it." I said, "All right, dude. Well, if he wants to hold you accountable to that, why don't you put on your $39.96, take 2 hours today, and just sit down and really give it a good read so that you know what's in there." And the MCSO is like, "Oh, well, he's not getting that time today." I said, "Well, exactly. Then I think we're done here." And everybody walked away, which is fine. You know, that essentially ends the conflict. But the other thing that's going on here is why this conflict happened in the first place. Why is this carrier frustrated? Well, it's for the same reason that carriers all around the country have been frustrated for a troublingly long time. And it's because we keep getting mandated. Because we're getting forced to work overtime that we don't want, and it's messing up our work-life balance. And these are things that our union is supposed to help us with. I mean, where I, at my station, what I'm seeing is that management is just blatantly disregarding the contract, where they will say, okay, we're going to have to mandate 10 different carriers today. And so we start at 7:30. And so these 10 carriers will get mandated. We'll have to work off assignment overtime that we don't want. And it's hot and it's brutal. And then later on in the day, I'll get a message on my scanner that says, hey, everybody needs to be off the clock by 6:30. Well, 6:30, that's only 10 and a half hours or whatever it is. I don't know the math, whatever. It's not 12 hours, right? So these ODL people, the overtime people who should be working 12 hours, are being told to be off the clock early. And so we know for sure that is an inappropriate mandate by management. They're being told wrong. And this is what I told the MCSO. I'm like, hey, I've brought this up to our station managers and said, you know, what gives? And they're like, oh, well, these orders come from above us. And I told the MCSO, that's you. You're the person above them. And so, yeah, people are rightly frustrated at you. I took the guy aside after this conflict to talk to him about it. And, you know, this is what I expect from management, right? They're not even trying to abide by the contract. The carriers know they're being abused. The carriers know they're being disrespected. And management doesn't care. They're just going to disregard the contract. And to me, this is why escalating remedies exist. And so for this to go on and on, I have to ask, where is my union? Where is my local in all of this? What are they doing? We're not seeing it on the workroom floor, what they're doing to claw back all rights. And it is so incredibly frustrating, you know, again, because I'm not a steward, I can't file that grievance because my local union president blackballed me for the crime of having the nerve to stand up and say that our branch should follow its bylaws. And before that, saying that the academy should be run in accordance with its founding documents. And so I can't file that grievance, but I'm standing up to management anyway and calling out this disregard, this disrespect of the carriers. But where the hell is my union? And where are they on a national level to stop this stuff and to stop this blatant disregard? Because management is taking the easier way out and our union is making it easier for them. It is so frustrating. You know, even for me, I'm 19 years in at the post office, 19 years in at the post office, and I'm on work assignment. I should know what my day is going to look like, but it's still the situation of, I don't know what time I'm getting off work today. And I know there's carriers all around the country. I don't know if I'm even going to have a day off this week. Where's the union? What are we doing about it? So I started standing up. You know, at first it was just the little stuff in the academy. You guys have heard those episodes. If you haven't, go back. They're an interesting listen. How I got fired from the Carrier Academy, how I got fired again from the Carrier Academy. And this is where it started for me. When I started learning these rules and learning what was right and what management was supposed to be doing to benefit our carriers. And I started standing up for what was in these agreements. And that's when the retaliation started, essentially right away. And the first thing that got taken away from me was my teaching position. And that was, what, a year and a half ago, 2 years ago now, however long ago that was. And guess what, motherfuckers? I'm still teaching. I am still teaching. You haven't stopped me, you motherfuckers. I'm still teaching. I'm closing in on however many episodes, 200 episodes of Classes of Mail, and I ain't stopping. You try to take this shit away from me because I'm standing up for what's right, because I'm standing up for what's in the contracts, what's in the manuals, what's in our agreements. You want to stop me? Good luck. So management used this podcast as a pretext to remove me from the Carrier Academy. And I fought that shit all the way to the national level, and I won, and I got back in there. And then my own union president used this podcast as a pretext to remove me from the academy. I will always hold on to this when he told me that I was could no longer be a teacher because my podcast is anti-union. On this podcast, on Classes of Mail, James Henry has been a guest on this podcast that my local president says is anti-union. James Henry, the national vice president and candidate for president. But I'm podcast is anti-union, he says, this fucking guy. Corey Walton's been on, David Grosskopf, John Murphy, C. Moline, Rob Cozier, Fred Woodley, Ellis, Greg Donaldson, Brian Gutierrez and Carpinto, Tyler Vassar, Mike Cariff, the list goes on. And my local president tries to use this as a bludgeon against me and say that, oh, I'm being divisive, that my podcast anti-union. We should be united. We should be united behind our fucking bylaws. We should be united behind our handbooks and manuals. And yet, I'm standing up to get this stuff enforced, to get our carriers the best deal we can get, and I get blackballed. But I say again, they're not going to stop me. I am going to keep teaching, and if they don't like it, they can fuck themselves. My co-host, Michael Brazenly, he's an incredible fighter. You guys have heard him on here. You know how hard he fights for carriers. You know that dude will take any angle to protect a carrier, stand up for that carrier's rights. And that dude's been blackballed too. And, you know, while I was gone, our local president came by my station and, you know, go around and glad hand people and how's it going? How you doing? It's one of the reasons the incumbents always have a big advantage in the elections, because Michael and I can't do that. We can't just go to other stations while carriers are on the clock and glad hand with them and make sure they know who I am and stuff like that. Hell, I can't even do that at my own station, but he can, you know, the president can. And I get that that's what we're up against. And so I know we're going to have our election next month. I'm sure it's something Michael and I are going to talk about. I don't want to go down this road right now, except to say that again, you know, Michael and I have been blackballed, and for what? Who benefits from keeping us out as stewards? Who benefited, you know, with us? Like, do the carriers at our stations, are they better off with me and Michael not being allowed to be their stewards? I don't think so. And obviously it's not just us, right? This is a systemic problem that needs to be addressed at the highest levels. And I hear Corey talk about it, and you know, other candidates like Kimitra Lewis, right? She got blackballed. Who benefited at the Dallas branch when Kimitra Lewis got blackballed for standing up and trying to represent her carriers? Who benefited from gatekeeping Rob Cozier, who's now the candidate for director of city delivery? It sure as hell wasn't the rank and file city letter carriers. And it's a system that needs to change. It needs reform and it needs leadership. And so here I am, right? I'm back from vacation and I'm right back at it. I'm even not as a steward. I'm still fighting for the carriers at my station. I'm still fighting for my branch to be run properly. Dude, when you hear about the latest election screw up, I'll wait until Michael comes on to talk about that. But it's nonstop. And most importantly, for my personal mission, my personal interest, what matters on a deep level to me, I'm still fighting to make sure that every single letter carrier has access to education. Not just the stewards, not just the branch officers, not just the people who can make it to meetings. Every single carrier. Carriers are being left behind. There are carriers who need training, who need education, who need involvement from people who have that, you know, they need that hand out to them and they're not getting it. And that's why this podcast exists. That's why this podcast will continue to exist. So Stay tuned, guys. Spread the word. Let other people know about Classes of Mail and about all the other podcasts that are like it. And stick around, because I'm just getting started.